Hi, this is Arya Kaplan. Today we're going to be learning Masechet Shkalim, Chapter 1, Mishnah 2 and 3. So Mishnah 2 begins as kind of a continuation of Mishnah 1. Mishnah 1 told us that the Beit Din sends out people on the 15th day of Adar to inspect the fields, whether or not the people complied and they got rid of their mixed seeds, their kelayim. So the Mishnah continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say, Barishona, hayu okrin mashlichin lifneihem. Originally, if the court's emissaries were defined in people's homes, that in their yards or in their fields, that they did not remove the forbidden mixtures, they would themselves go to their field, remove the forbidden mixture, and throw it in front of them. The Mishnah continues, Misharabu Ovre Avera. So as people continue to sin, even though the Beit Din was doing this, people continued sinning. And the explanation of why they were continuing sinning was because the people, to some extent, were happy. In other words, they were lazy and didn't go out to their field and get rid of the forbidden mixtures. And the Beit Din would go out, take care of it for them, and put it at their front, and put the sort of leftovers at their front yard, their front. And people, then they could use their leftovers to make fires or to use as wood. So they were very happy by this. So people actually continued to sin. Hayu okrin mashlichin al hadrachim. So the Beit Din said, no more putting it into your front yard. The Beit Din would send their people, and they would find that the people didn't have the proper mixtures, that people didn't get rid of the improper mixtures. They would uproot the stuff, but they would not place it at their front yard, or not place it at their front step. They, in fact, would throw it into the streets. The people couldn't get the benefit of the forbidden, of the stuff that was ripped out. They couldn't use it for firewood. However, people were still happy, because even though they couldn't get benefit, even though they weren't having this extra seeds ripped out and put in front of their house, they, at least it was being sort of weeded from their home. Someone else was taking care of their busy work. So after that, the rabbis established Hikinu Sheyam Afkirin Kol HaSedekul. If the rabbis would come and see that the field was improperly mixed with Kilayim, then they would say, this field is heavy, this field is ownerless, and that actually stopped people, because when your field is ownerless, anybody can come and take all your food, and that would be a tremendous financial loss. That's the end of Mishnah 2. Continue now with Mishnah 3. B'chamisha Sarbo Shulchanot Hayoshin B'medina. So on the 15th of Adar, besides Halach, as we mentioned in the first Mishnah, the money changers would sit in the Medina. So first, Medina has two understandings. Some Rishonim say that Medina means in Yerushalayim. The money changers would sit in Yerushalayim. Some mean the word Medina means anywhere in Israel. So, and what are the, and the money changers have a few jobs as well. One job for the money changer is that the people, whoever could come, wanted to give their half shekel, could leave with their money changers. The other job of a money changer, someone who came with a full shekel, they would break it. And the third job is people who would come throughout the world with different currencies. They would change the currency into the currency that the Beit HaMikdash was using, and to give, make sure the Beit HaMikdash was able to give the proper half shekel payment. So on the 15th, these people would sit, whether either in Yerushalayim, these money changers, or in the rest of Israel, depending on which interpretation you take. However, Be'asrim B'chamisha Yashu B'Mikdash, starting on the 25th, they would only sit in the Mikdash, in the Temple Mount. And Misha Yashu B'Mikdash Hitchilu L'Mashkein. And there was an additional thing, starting when they would sit in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Temple, they would actually begin to Mashkein. Mashkein means they would basically seize collateral. If somebody were to come on the 25th of Adar, who has yet to pay, and they weren't paying then, they would actually take something from you as collateral until you would pay your half a shekel. So the Mishnah wants to know, at me, Mashkinen, who could we take, who did they have right to seize collateral from? So the Mishnah answers, Levium, from any Levium, V'Yisraelim, any Israelim, Gerim, converts, Vavadim Mishucharim, freed slaves, who after they became freed became fully Jewish. Those are the people that they're allowed to take this collateral from. However, Aval lo, Nashim, not from women, Avadim, not from slaves, Ukatanim, not from minors. And seemingly the reason is because they, women, slaves and minors are not obligated, therefore we cannot seize collateral for them. The Mishnah continues, Kol katon shehet chil avi lishko yado, any minor whose father were to start beginning for whatever reason to give a half shekel for him, shuvein posek. Even though generally minors are not obliged, if the father were to 1 year give for him, the father should not stop. And the Mishnah continues and finishes, v'emashak kninan at the Kohanim and Darche Shalom. However, although at this point the Mishnah seems to imply that Kohanim are obliged or obligated in the half shekel, the Mishnah says we do not seize collateral from Kohanim. And the reason is because Darche Shalom. Seemingly Kohanim, they work at the Beit HaMikdash, they're there. We wouldn't be really right if we, at their sort of job, at their work, were taking things from them, seizing their collateral. And because of peace, ways of peace, we do not seize collateral from the Kohanim. That concludes the study of the third Mishnah. Hope everyone has a great day.